If I were to tell you this morning that I was going to preach about Simon, your first question would be, well, which one? Simon Peter? And then after him come several supporting characters, all with a description to distinguish from Simon Peter. Simon the Zealot, Simon the Sorcerer, Simon the Leper, or Simon the Tanner. Well, I want to preach this morning about a Simon who's given just one verse in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is Simon of Cyrene. And I want to read the one verse in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, that is said about him. Luke 23, verse 26. Luke 23 and verse 26, and when they led him away, they laid hold of one Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. Cyrene was a port city in Africa. It would be modern-day Libya. 800 miles or more from Jerusalem. And inasmuch as Acts 2 and verse 10 tells us that there on the day of Pentecost were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, including those from Cyrene, it is likely that Simon had come to Jerusalem for the feast to celebrate Passover as the law prescribed, and maybe even stayed over for Pentecost. He was coming into the city from the country and happened onto the scene of Jesus being led away to be crucified. The Romans took the most crowded streets and the longest route possible from the judgment hall to the place of execution. If we're going one place to another, we put that in our Waze app or Google Maps and we choose fastest route. We want to get there as quickly as possible. Not so when you're leading someone to crucifixion. One of the soldiers was at the front of the procession, and history tells us that he had on a sign or some kind of tablet the crime that the person who's being executed committed. This was to be a deterrent. And after him, as they made their way through the city streets, they exposed and further humiliated the criminal, as it was all theatrical and a production to them, entertainment. And Simon of Cyrene just happened to be, as we might say, either the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time. As the expression goes, everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame. Now, some people search for it. They want to be in the public eye. They want to be known. But Simon, it was thrust upon him. Think of it. Nobody else is named in this procession. Later, there are women who are said to be following and mourning. We don't know any of their names. Later, one of the thieves on the cross asked Jesus to remember him. We don't know his name. After that, a centurion, when Jesus died, said, "Surely this was a righteous man." We don't know his name. But Simon of Cyrene was chosen from the crowd and carried the cross of Jesus. This morning, we've come again to the table of the Lord. This we do each Lord's Day. And maybe for you this morning, the cross has found you. Maybe you feel distracted by the things of life, and you weren't prepared. The cross has found you again. Maybe you're here this morning because someone invited you to come, and you didn't know what to expect. And the cross has found you. Maybe someone is listening by live stream or found the recording later, much later than today. And you weren't looking for it. But the cross has found you. Just like it found Simon of Cyrene. When the cross finds you, you find Jesus fulfilling the purposes for which he came. See, Simon was just passing by. But Jesus knew that this hour would come for him. How many times in the Gospels do we read of Jesus saying these words or their equivalent? "My hour has not yet come." I want to trace through John's Gospel just three passages to string together. Just look over to John chapter 2 to begin at the wedding feast in Cana, when Jesus and his disciples are there and Jesus' mother, Mary, is there. And she comes to Jesus in verse 3 of John 2. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now, she may not have understood all that Jesus was, but she knew that he had come to the earth through miraculous means, and that he would have the ability to do something about this. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come." In John chapter 7, in verse 6, Jesus' brothers want him to go to Jerusalem during the Feast of Booths and to do his works publicly. Why are you doing everything privately? Why don't you do these things and disclose them to everyone? And Jesus says to them in verse 6, "My time is not yet at hand." Verse 8, "Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come." And then chapter 7 and verse 30, they grab Jesus, but notice they were seeking to seize him, and no man laid his hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Well, what does that suggest? Jesus knew that his hour would come, that he had a purpose for coming to the earth, and that purpose was to go the way of the cross. In John 12 and verse 27, he says, "My soul is pained. I'm grieved. But what am I supposed to say? Father, save me from this hour? For this purpose I came to this hour." When the cross finds you, I want you to see Jesus fulfilling his purpose for coming to the earth. Why did he come here? He came to die. Even the death of the cross. When Jesus revealed to his apostles that this was God's plan, Peter rebuked Jesus and saying, "Lord, this shall never happen to you. They'll have to get through us first." And Jesus called Simon Peter Satan, because he was doing exactly what the devil was tempting Jesus to do in Matthew 4, to come between him and his purpose, to go to the cross. Jesus came for this purpose. For Simon, he just happened to be there. But Jesus' hour had come. He did not come to be served. He did not come to be saved. He came to serve and to save by giving his life a ransom for many. And so in Luke chapter 22, when Jesus and his disciples are celebrating the Passover and come to the institution of the Lord's Supper, look what he says in verse 22. "For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined." When the cross finds you, I want you to see Jesus doing what he came to do. When the cross finds you, number two, you see Jesus suffering through no fault of his own. This is a picture of Jesus suffering. First, we think of Jesus and his suffering at Calvary. That he was nailed to a cross and that he was there suspended for 6 hours. But the Gospels tell us that the suffering of Jesus began well before that. Remember that it was in the garden in Luke chapter 22 where Jesus was in agony. And it says in verse 44 that he was praying very fervently and his sweat became like drops of blood falling upon the ground. He was so distressed in anticipation of what was coming, that it was as though his sweat fell like drops of blood. He asked his disciples to sit and pray with him, but they slept. And while they slept, Jesus was up all night. When he was arrested, he was taken before the high priest. And in verse 63, the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him. And they blindfolded him and were asking him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who hit you?" And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. A crown of thorns was twisted together and placed on his head. And then they took the reed that they had given him as a mock scepter and beat him over the head with it. And before he was released to be crucified, Pilate had him scourged. For the Jewish people, the law said 40 stripes. The Romans were not so merciful. The soldiers were instructed, beat them, just don't kill them. And so Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you. It's what you see when the cross finds you. The suffering of Jesus. Now, when he left, John says he went out bearing his own cross. But because of his exhaustion and because he had been beaten, they chose Simon. Verse 26 of Luke 23 says that he was seized, a word that's also translated compelled or forced into service. Remember that the Romans, by law, could do that. Jesus spoke of that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. If anyone forces you to go with them 1 mile, go with them too. Well, here Simon was forced into service. Chosen to carry Jesus' cross. And so just like in the garden, when God sent angels to minister to Jesus and strengthen him, God sent a helper, Simon, to lighten the load of his son. When you eat of the bread, it's the body given for you. The King of Kings, who looked nothing like a king. When the cross finds you, you find Jesus carrying what no one else could bear. Notice that it says they placed upon him the cross to carry behind Jesus. The ESV uses the word laid. They laid on him the cross. That would have most likely been the cross beam that would have been placed on his shoulders and neck to carry. And notice Luke is the only one who mentions this. Placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. So as Simon is carrying and bearing Jesus' cross, he's walking behind the Lord as they go to Golgotha's hill. And so Simon is literally carrying out the words of Jesus, who said, if any man wishes to be my disciple, he's going to have to take up the cross and follow me. But I want to remind you, that what Simon did for Jesus is nothing compared to what Jesus did for Simon. He bore Jesus' cross, but Jesus bore Simon's sins. And when the cross finds you, you see Jesus bearing this burden that no one could bear. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried." Verse 12 of the same chapter, "He himself bore the sin of many." The weight, that which condemns us, that which separates us from God, Jesus bore on the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross." The Greek word there for bore literally means to take up or to carry. So Simon of Cyrene carried the cross for Jesus. But it was Jesus who took up and bore the sins of the world. Not for anything he had done, but for my sin. And so in Luke 22, when they're feasting together, Jesus took the cup in verse 20 and said, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." When we drink the cup, it is the blood of Jesus poured out, given for our sins. Simon was just there by chance. Jesus was there on purpose. Simon was forced into service. Jesus gave himself for us. Simon bore the cross, but Jesus bore our sins. Week after week, let's not become desensitized when the cross finds us. Whenever the gospel writers used someone's name, it was likely because it was a person known to the people receiving the letter. And so Simon of Cyrene perhaps became known, not just for that one act, but because of his faith and influence. Mark's account tells that he had two sons. One of them was named Rufus. And later on, Paul commends the faith of Rufus in Romans 16 and even mentions the mother of Rufus, which would have been the wife of Simon. Later in Acts, there's a Simeon connected with Lucius of Cyrene, who went out preaching with Paul and Barnabas. A lot of speculation. But what I'm saying to you is perhaps it wasn't just a chance meeting after all, but brought about through the providential hand of God. And that may be what's brought you to the cross this morning. God has led you here. What then will you do with this one who is called Jesus? What will you do for him who gave himself for you, who died for your sins, and said to go preach, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved? That invitation stands open today. If you're ready to come and kneel at the cross, come now as we stand up and as we sing.